This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, if there's any day, Charlie, that I should be wearing my Speedo into work, this is it. Wow, it's going to be a scorcher today.
I was going to say, a scorcher is right. Mm-hmm. Feeling in the 40s, I think.
Yeah.
Extremes.
Well,
our weather
I was
is so
whining and bitching at you when you came in this morning, because don't come into the downtown area this morning.
Not this morning.
Oh, my Lord. Trying to get through town just to get over here on kind of the west side of Liberty Village from the Don Valley. I thought I'll take Richmond Street.
Nope.
Well, that only works so far. And after going in circles, literally.
I know, a lot of road closures.
Yeah.
And, of course, the lakeshore's closed.
Very kind
completely.
Officer of the law said, okay, here's what you have
here's
to do.
Here's your route.
Yeah, and told me exactly, you go up Bay to Elm, then Elm west to McCall, then down McCall to Queen. Oh, but so, folks, don't drive yourself crazy like I was going this morning.
I came a much simpler route than you. I just stayed on the Gardner, over to Dunn, Jameson, and back. It was actually worked very well.
Well, there you are. Okay, to the gardening stuff. That's where we got to go.
Of course.
Yeah, got a couple of numbers for the folks here. In Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Please keep in mind our little mantra, call early, call often, one question per call. But you can always call back. And if you're a first-time caller, let Sebastian know. And when you come to the air, you'll hear that preceding you.
Garden wings.
Your garden wings. Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Okay, a number of...
Updates. Let me give you some updates. So remember last week I told you I was off to St. Catharines.
Yes.
So I went down to help the St. Catharines Horticultural Society celebrate 160 years.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing as a hort society.
Yeah, 10 years older than Confederation.
That's right, than Canada. So, busy, involved, fun group of people. Wonderful tea was prepared by a lovely caterer. And I met the mayor and the MPP and,
Jim Bradley.
Bradley, exactly. Hung out with all the dignitaries, did my thing. And, so that was great. I really had a lot of fun doing that. But then on the flip of the coin, on Thursday, I was in Ennismore. So Ennismore is a little tiny hamlet up in the Kawarthas. Their horse society is 4 years old.
Wow, what a difference.
Yeah. So, but again, very vibrant. There was probably 75, 100 people in the room to hear me speak. So they had come from outside of the town as well, obviously. But they were great. They were, a lot of fun people. But a special shout out and thank you to Sharon Kyle, who provided me with a special jar of homemade jam.
Oh.
Cherry rhubarb.
Oh, I can't wait to taste that.
She told me I wasn't allowed to give you any.
What?
I don't, Sharon, I guess, enjoys me teasing you. And I said, people tell me I give Frank too hard a time and I shouldn't be so mean to him. And she said, oh, no, I love it when you give him a hard time. So I will bring the jar with me next Saturday. And we'll take it to Hyde Park and we'll put it right on the table and you can smear all your toast with it.
Goody.
And I'll share some with you instead of that cheapo strawberry stuff they give us at the restaurant there. So thank you again, Sharon. That was fun. But people are always looking for you. I walk in the door and they go, where's Frank?
So we're tethered.
Yeah. I know. Hmm. I'm going, he wouldn't be that good up here on stage talking about gardening.
Unless it's a nematode question.
Yeah.
I haven't got a clue.
I mean,
you're
unless
right.
You'd need an MC, right? I mean, we could do that. We could do Q's and A's and you could be the person who runs around with the microphone to the audience members. You could do that very well.
Okay.
All right. Hmm. So back to gardening. Remember, Garden Days is still going on right through till tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Coast to coast. It's a celebration of public gardens Gardens and Gardening. For an event near you, go to www.gardendays.ca. Now, if you're in the RBG, Royal Botanical Garden area, Burlington, there's tons going on this weekend, from a pollination festival, Nature Connects in Hendry Park, irises and peonies in the Laking Garden. This weekend is abuzz with activities. Kippax and rock garden tours, magic shows, and zoo to you at the rock garden. So there's back to nature hike. There's tons going on. Check out the full schedule at rbg.ca/this weekend. And of course, you know where that is. You know, our Royal Botanical Gardens right there, Plains Road. Also, of course, in the same area, the Hamilton and Burlington Rose Society is holding its 60th anniversary. There'll be a rose show, which is an exhibition of cut garden rose and flower design, again, at the Royal Botanical Garden Center. This is next Saturday, June the 24th, from 1 o'clock until 5, and then the following day, Sunday, from 10 until 4. Remember that at that particular rose show, there is an auction of the show blooms, which starts at 3 p.m., and it's a very, very exciting auction. People get pretty excited about getting a hold of some of those roses. Yeah. 680 Plains Road West in Burlington. For more information, please contact, you could, for email, HB for Hamilton Burlington, HB Rose Society at simpatico.ca.
Okay. We're coming up to 9:14. In fact, we're here at 9:14,
so yes, we better
scoot along. We have Jim in Brantford waiting to say hi to you, Charlie, and we'll get to Jim in just moments here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, here we are with Charlie and Jim in Brantford. Good morning, Jim.
Morning.
Good morning.
Charlie, I have a germination problem. I have, and just let me, for vegetables, and just let me set the garden up for you. We have a half-acre garden. We're on sandy soil, and I do my fertilization in the wintertime with fresh chicken manure, and I lay it out and then turn it in and go at it for the winter. And then in the spring, I start my garden, usually Easter weekend or right around that area. Mm-hmm. Last year, I had a huge germination problem, and it seems to be coming into this season also. Last year, my corn germination was just absolutely brutal. And my lettuce germination was brutal, except for my first planting.
Oh.
Now this year, my pea germination is probably 70%. Mm-hmm. I've already had to turn in, my corn, my first planting of corn, and that's kind of my fault because I pushed the envelope a little bit. But my second planting of corn, which happened around the 1st of May, the germination is, I would say, 50%. And I've now just planted a few weeks ago. It's got its first leaves on corn, and it's probably, I would say it's probably 85 or 90%. And my first planting of lettuce is really good.
Okay.
But my Jim, can you get to a question?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So the question is,
am I having a seed problem, or do you think I'm having a soil problem?
Well, you know what's a great question. The best way to find out whether it's a soil problem is to get your soil tested. There are several accredited soil testing labs in Ontario. The one closest to you would be in Guelph, at the Agri-Foods Laboratories, Guelph, Ontario. That is something that I highly recommend you do. And if you just go to the website, just even Google Soil Testing Ontario, you'll find the different accredited labs will come up, and there's great information on how to take a proper soil sample, and then they will send you the proper kit to send the soil to them, and then they'll email you the results of your test. That, and you'll tell them what you're growing. The
right.
only other thing, see, corn is notorious for being a seed that you cannot hold. It must be fresh every year. Typically, you will get, the germination drops by half or 50% every year. So we always, always get fresh corn seed. So if you have leftover corn seed, there's no point in even trying to grow it. Whereas right. something like lettuce is usually good for 2 or 3 years, as long as you're keeping it in dry, dark situation over the winter when you're waiting to use it the following spring. You mentioned fresh chicken manure in the fall, which is fine. It's okay to use fresh, meaning right out of the chicken coop. But it can be extremely what we call hot, full of lots and lots of ammonia. And it can burn young seedlings because of that high nitrogen count.
Even so, over the winter.
Well, what I would do if I was using fresh manure is I would put it on the surface of my vegetable garden and leave it on the surface for the winter.
Oh.
And I would let the sun and the snow and the rain and everything start the process of neutralizing some of that heat that's in that manure.
See, my neighbors would really like that, especially if their cats are roaming at night.
Oh, didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Well, and then I would turn it in the spring before I planted. I wouldn't turn it in the fall because you will find that that weathering of the manure will lower some of that incredible high nitrogen content. So first and foremost, yeah, make sure the seed is fresh. Obviously, moisture is important to get good germination, but I'd really recommend a soil test. Okay.
All righty.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Good question. And
yeah, excellent question. Golly. And but quite involved. So
much information for you, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
My gardening buddy.
We have so many people waiting online here.
True.
And we will indeed get to Karen in Mississauga in just a moment. You are listening to The Garden Show here with Charlie Dobbin, yours truly, Frank Proctor, aboard on this Saturday morning where it's a scorcher.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And nice to have you along, and I'm referring, of course, to Karen in Mississauga. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Morning.
Good morning. I'm calling about my Japanese maple.
Mm-hmm.
It has been very, very showy this year, turning red and yellow and green, but now it seems to be dying in the middle of the tree. The leaves are curling up, drying up and curling up and falling off.
Okay.
I went to Sheridan with some samples.
Mm-hmm.
They said it was a fungus.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a Safer's Defender. But mm-hmm. when I was reading about Safer's Defender, it says that if you get it on your skin, you have to flush it for 20 minutes. I got a little bit worried about
using it.
I thought, no sense killing myself to save the tree. But I'm wondering if there's something you can suggest.
Well, I think they're right that it is a fungus. We are seeing phenomenal levels of fungal diseases very, very early in the season this year because the cool weather, the high moisture levels, high humidity, rain has certainly had a big impact on the very happy growth of fungus. So, yes, I would recommend a fungicide. The other thing is, if you don't want to spray that, I'm just double checking. Okay, so since the use of toxic pesticides and herbicides and fungicides was outlawed in 2008, we use less toxic sprays. And the ones that are available for the homeowners are for fungal diseases are sulfur-based. So
yes.
It's the sulfur, which, and that smells like rotten eggs, right?
Right.
Sulfur, yeah, I mean, everybody's a little bit different. Would it burn you? Probably not. But I certainly would always wear gloves. Never.
The instructions do not give you that. They don't say anything about a mask or gloves or anything.
Oh, okay. Well, they should. I mean, the trick is never spray when it's windy.
Mm-hmm.
Never spray when it's hot, sunny day at high noon. Always spray early, preferably early in the day or late in the day, because that's when the least wind is dawn and dusk. The wind typically drops. So that's your time to spray. You're going to spray thoroughly till the plant is wet. But the other thing is, all of us who are, you know, potentially going to be struggling with fungal diseases need to really look at our shrubs and our trees and prune for an open canopy. Prune so that you don't have growth, all the little branches growing to the inside of the plant.
So when, should I go in there and...
First.
And cut out,
yep,
like the stuff that's dying?
Well, yes, but you should definitely cut out the branches that are growing in the wrong direction. So
okay,
your Japanese maple, assuming it's an upright, which it sounds like it is, version,
yep,
should be vase-shaped. So it's like a V. And so all the growth should be from the base of the plant upwards and out like a fountain. So when you look at it and just stand back, look at the silhouette of that plant and make sure that any of the little branches or strange growing branches that are growing in the wrong direction are removed. That will open the canopy, the whole shrub up for sunshine and air circulation. And that will lower incidence of fungal disease. And it will, so it's a preventative that we do that for, and also it'll control. But certainly go ahead and use the Defender. Yeah, read the instructions, wear gloves. You shouldn't need a mask, but certainly don't do it when there's any wind and never when there's any sun.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, if I do nothing,
mm-hmm,
like if I go in and just, mm-hmm, like prune out the dead,
yeah,
part,
yeah,
or whatever, is this going to kill it, the tree?
Probably not. No. If the tree is healthy and was in vigorous and good shape before this happened, what will happen is some leaves are going to drop. You are going to follow the rules of good garden hygiene and you're going to clean up those leaves because you know those leaves carry spores, which could reinfect the tree. So you're going to continue to keep things tidy. If the plant is vigorous and weather is in its favor, it will grow some more leaves. So an early defoliation doesn't mean a plant is dying. It just means that it's stressful because now it's going to have to grow another set of leaves. So, yeah, just keep cleaning up. You don't need to spray, but certainly the opening up will help. Fungal diseases, it's all about prevention. We cannot eradicate a fungus. We can only prevent it.
There was something on the internet with baking soda, water, and dish soap.
Yeah, there are lots and lots of homemade recipes. Baking soda I've heard of. I would not use soap to control fungus. Okay, thanks, Karen.
Thanks very much, Karen. Taking care of Mississauga there.
I know.
Hey,
boy,
you know,
people have big questions today.
I know. Involved. A lot of involved.
Well,
stuff.
Because we're at that time of year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
Not just that early spring rush of, ooh la la, let's plant the garden. Now it's like, okay, we planted the garden. Now we got problems.
Now we get problems. Now I wonder what the heck's going up there in Midhurst. Hey, that's for John,
first time caller.
Hi,
welcome.
John.
Hello.
Morning.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, good morning. My question is with regards to overseeding of an established lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you my opinion. If I go all over my lawn with a rotary spreader and basically walk away from it,
mm-hmm,
I think it's a complete waste of time and money because those seeds are not being covered with a thin layer of topsoil or anything. They're just laying there and... I just want your opinion on that.
How big is your property?
Half an acre.
Right, so it's a good size. Okay, you're right. That is a challenge, particularly now as we're into some serious heat. The
yeah.
best seed germination, particularly lawn seed germination, happens when we have good seed-soil contact. So you're absolutely right. When you're overseeding, whether it's a little tiny lawn or a big one, we go out there and we sprinkle a bunch of seed. It's sitting up in those blades of existing lawn. It's not down necessarily down at soil level where there can be some actual moisture absorbed. Yeah, exactly. No, Frank's right. He's making raking motions. If you could broadcast your seed and then go back and rake, brush, blow, do whatever you can to drive that seed down to soil level, you'd have a much higher germination level.
What about going over with a garden hose, just spraying it down?
Yeah, that could work. I mean, is there any way you could go over it with a little bit of soil? Because that would help even more.
No, I've got such a huge area.
Yeah.
It's not practical.
Right.
Anyway, what's your comments? What time of year should you do overseeding?
Early spring, when we've got rain in the forecast, and fall. So anytime in September is perfect. You have very fast seed germination in September because the soil is nice and warm. Just do it before we get some good rain. All right.
Thank you, John. Don't be a stranger. Doors always open here. The Garden
That's
Show
good.
From Zoomer Radio. here on this, what is the 16th, is it not?
I believe 17th. 17th.
17th.
17, 17.
Of course, Father's Day tomorrow.
Well, that's a good point, and Grandfather's Day, too.
Yes, indeed. Hey, Josephine in Pickering, welcome along.
Hey, welcome back.
Hello there. How are you?
Excellent.
That's good. I'm calling in regards to a rose bush.
Mm-hmm.
I bought 3 rose bushes this year. Mm-hmm. 2 of them are gorgeous. They've come into bloom.
Mm-hmm.
The third one will not leaf.
Oh.
What do I do? Take it back?
Yeah. So did you buy them dormant, all 3 of them?
No, there was a little bit of growth on it. Now, the branches look quite intact, like they're not brittle, so that you can break them off.
Were they potted roses or bare root?
No, they were potted.
Oh, okay. No, that's usually better, actually. You bought 3 early in the season. They were just waking up. 2 of them really popped along, and 1 is still just sitting there, still dormant.
Yeah. 1 is Blue Girl. 1 is John F. Kennedy. They're in bloom right now. The other one hasn't even got a leaf on it.
Okay. And it is in the ground. You've planted it.
No, because remember, I was working on the garden and it's been extensive work, and those are growing beautifully. I'm going to plant them today, do or die.
Okay, so what I would do, you definitely could consider taking it back and getting one a replacement that is actually growing.
Right.
But if you're committed to keeping the plant that you have, the best thing to force it, since it sounds like it's still dormant, force it out of dormancy is give it a pruning. Prune the whole thing back. Not by a lot, 1/2 inch, every branch, every stem, every cane, back by about 1/2 inch, and that should force it to get growing, particularly if it's still looking good and firm and there's some shininess to the bark, you know, green.
Yeah.
And when you do that little trimming, that 1/2 inch on each cane, take a look at the center of the canes. They should be white. If you see brown in the center or anything like almost a yellow center, it's called the pith of the cane.
Right.
Take it back, because that's never a good sign. You want nice, clean, white pith on your rose canes. Then you know that they're very alive, full of vigor, just need to be woken up.
Well, 3 of them have the white.
Okay.
The other 2, they're not so good looking.
Okay. So cut them down a little further, perhaps.
Right.
Always cut down to an outward-facing bud. And, of course, make your cut on a slight slant so that water doesn't sit on that wound. And, you know, depending on the guarantee you have on the rose, maybe you have a full-year guarantee.
No, 90 days.
Oh, 90 days. Mm. So, and you bought them probably about...
3 weeks ago.
A month ago.
The other 2 are beautiful.
Yeah.
In fact, the one there, John F. Kennedy, is gorgeous.
Okay. Well, it could... Yeah, so sort of up to you. I think you can often wake these plants up with a little pruning and, you know, talking to it.
Yeah.
And and keep track of the days. You know, you can always take it back on the 88th day, right? 89th day.
Right. And by the way, I gave up on azaleas and I told my daughter, don't buy me another one.
Concede that one, huh?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't win all the time, can you? Huh?
Well, we live and we learn.
Yeah, that's
when,
right.
You know.
Thank you, Josephine. Take
Thanks
care
for
of Pickering
calling.
For us. And a reminder, as we wave bye to Josephine, that leaves a line or 2 open, actually. 416-360-0740 in Toronto. Anywhere else in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Let me get my arm out here, the bell ringing arm. Hey, that's for Anne in Newmarket. Good morning, Anne.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Excellent.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I enjoy it, and I get a lot of good hints from it.
Good.
But I wanted to ask you, mentioned last week about a box of stuff to get for plant skid, it's called?
Oh, that's right.
Went to Canadian Tire. They didn't have it up here in Newmarket, and I tried Home Hardware, and I tried Home Depot, but Home Depot had something else that's called for critters, but it had dog on the box and cats, and I didn't... Is the plant skid the same?
No.
No?
No, plant skid. So plant SKYDD. So plant SKYD as in dog and D as in dog again.
Mm-hmm.
What's different about plant skid is it came out of Norway, and it was all about protecting gardens from elk, I think, is how it all started.
Mm-hmm.
So it is made in the USA. It might not be carried at the big box stores. You can certainly buy it on the web, plantskid.com. Where else did we see? For dealer, locator, testimonials, and field trial results, visit plantskid.com. That's my suggestion.
Okay.
To see who carries it in your neighborhood.
Okay.
It is effective against deer, rabbits, voles, elk, moose, chipmunks, squirrels, nutria, opossums, and mountain beaver.
Wow.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. And it's, you know, it's 100% organic, can be used on edible food crops, and spray once, you're good for months. That's the claim, and I'm trusting it at this point.
Thanks a lot, Ann. Okay. And golly, we're having a busy show here. Oh, you know what? We are coming up to our next little bit of a break here. So let's do that. A reminder of those phone calls, or phone numbers, should I say, in Toronto, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. You are listening to The Garden Show here on Zoomer Radio, AM 740 and 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, storks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor, here. I've just glanced out the window. My gosh, things have clouded over in a big way from earlier this morning.
Well, they are talking about some rain today. Listen, just during that break, I took a quick look on the web. So, Anne, if you're still listening, Plant Skid apparently is available at Canadian Tire. Now, I can speak from experience. It's hard to get good stuff at Canadian Tire. So they are supposed to have it there. You can certainly buy it online. 1 liter bottles. Also, if I know you mentioned your Newmarket. Now, there's a great garden center called Black Forest Garden Center in Aurora at 15445 Keel Street. They carry Plant Skid, and so does Lee Valley Tools. So there you go.
Okay, good. Siva in Toronto. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I want to ask a quick question about zucchini, the board that goes into the zucchini.
Mm-hmm.
I understood it just lays its eggs in June.
Mm-hmm.
So I covered my zucchini because they're the only thing that's healthy now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if can I remove the cloth after the end of June or they might come back in July?
You know what? I have to double check that. Let me report back.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, because you're right. Absolutely. Insects have very specific life cycles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we do protect them with, did you protect with like a floating row cover or netting?
Yes,
okay.
I did.
Perfect. Okay. But of course you need that pollination. You need the insects to be able to get at the flowers unless you're going to be.
Well, I take it off occasionally, you know, and check it out to see if bees are around.
All right.
So I don't know.
All right. Well, like I said, let me just, I'll double check and report back because that's just too specific. I don't have that in my brain.
Okay. Thank you.
Wow.
I wish I did.
An unusual question, unusual situation that Charlie doesn't have the answer.
I was going to say unusual situation where Charlie doesn't have the answer. I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, out there to Grafton, there's Pat. Good morning, Pat. Welcome to the show.
Good morning and happy Father's Day to Frank.
Well, thank you very much. I've got two sons who are dads too, so
yeah,
same to them. Thank you very
much. Happy Father's Day, Grandpa.
That's right. Thank you.
I'm calling about the proverbial problem of squirrels in the bird feeder.
Mm.
I have a solution that is perfect, works, and it's good for the environment. Don't have to worry about getting the red powder,
the cayenne pepper,
like that.
Sure, let's hear it.
You'd have to have it on a pole. I don't know how to make it work for one hanging from something else.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say.
Go to the dollar store and buy a metal slinky.
Oh.
A metal slinky. Uh-huh. Now, if your pole that you have it hanging on has a crook on it, you may have to undo one end of the slinky. It's just a little clip there to keep all the little circles together.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on your pole, and if you can't slip it over the pole, then just kind of undo it and start it and wind it around.
Yeah.
And then fasten it back to your pole.
Yeah.
It's the funniest thing to see. The squirrel comes over and he looks at this thing and he jumps up and grabs a hold of it and all of a sudden he's sitting on the ground. And they look at like,
What's going on?
What just happened?
Try it again.
I haven't had a squirrel in my yard.
Words out.
I put the slinky on there.
The squirrel network knows. Avoid your place. I thought you were going to say the Vaseline thing. Have you ever tried Vaseline on the bird feeder pole and watch the squirrels? they only get so far and then they slide.
Yeah, but you have to keep doing that.
I know.
But the slinky you put on there,
and
I have mine. You can attach it with...
just some wire, I would think.
Pipe cleaners.
Yeah, yeah.
I do everything with pipe cleaners.
That's great, man.
So take some video. We got to see that. That's if you get any squirrels on it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So funny when you do that to the squirrels.
You can see the squirrels just slinking off. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Well, I have one of those baffles where they go up inside the baffle, and then they bang their heads on the top, and they're like completely in the dark, right? It's like, what's going on? Where am I? I thought I was going somewhere, and then they come back down and look, and, and then they try flying through the air, leaping from shrubs and tomato cans.
No,
they miss every time. It's great. I love it. And I have cats all circling, sitting, watching this whole process.
Thank you so much for that, Pat. That's a good snicker. Help us along here
that's
on a Saturday
a good visual,
morning.
Yeah.
Hey, in Waterloo, well, that's for Penny. Good morning. Welcome to the show, first-time caller.
Morning and welcome.
Thank you so much. I am calling to ask a question about the lifespan of houseplants.
Depends on the houseplant.
Yeah. So... is there a difference between how long a large plant like a palm or a corn plant would last versus an African violet?
Good question. Is there a difference? Either of them could last. I'd say a corn plant probably would last longer because African violets tend to get that funny growth where we end up severing and and propagating from the mother plant because they lose their form eventually. African violets, excellent houseplants, 10, 20 years, but after that, usually they're not so pretty anymore. But if you love it, then you still keep it, but you just sever babies off of the root. Whereas a corn plant, Dracaena plant like that, 20 years, 30 years, they just get bigger. And sometimes that becomes a problem that, you know, raise the rooftop to make room for the houseplants.
Right. But, and then sometimes they get very leggy.
That's true.
And I know that you can air layer them to get a new plant.
That's true.
But if you were to take one of these larger plants and just cut off the stem and any foliage, will the roots, like, regrow new growth, new foliage?
From that severed bit?
Yes.
Depends whether it's a sprout from the side of the plant or it's taking the top off. Because, you know, when you've got those big canes, it's very hard to get roots from one of those cut canes. They do it, though. I mean, they do it in Florida all the time. They take the canes, they use machetes, they chop them all up into little pieces, drop them in the soil and wait. And roots will start to grow eventually, given the right conditions. You'll usually find your best way to propagate in any of the big caned plants is sever the stem into small chunks and lay it on its side. And a new sprout will emerge from the side of that, you know, through a dormant bud and grow straight up from that cane lying on its side, half submerged in soil.
I was thinking if I just got rid of all of the stalk and the foliage, would new growth come from that little stub that is just above the soil level?
It depends because, you see, if there's no green left on the plant can die. Like if we take everything off, there's no photosynthesis, the plant's going, what's going on? And it can no longer support itself and it withers and dies. So it depends on the vigor within the plant, whether it's because there's always carbohydrates stored in the root. The question is, can those carbohydrates actually translocate and bust forth with new growth under the circumstances? And that goes back to the vigor of the plant. So it depends, when did you last transplant it, you know, the quality of the potting soil it's in, that sort of thing. So it's a bit hard to have a blanket answer to that. But there are ways to propagate for sure. If it's a great plant, send a picture. Maybe I can give you a good suggestion based on the actual look of the plant now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's just this particular plant I'm looking at right now is probably 25 to 30 years old. And I'm thinking it probably will become less robust mm-hmm. as it ages, and
true.
Maybe I should just replace the plant.
True, exactly. So there's that option too. But sometimes people have fun doing some of the unusual forms of propagation. Like you mentioned air layering, and you know, air layering takes 2-3 months to get roots. So that's, you know, it's a process, and you're very proud once you've got a brand new plant. You just sever it off the top. So, yeah, send me a picture if you want. I'll take a better look.
That'd be great. Thank you very much, Penny. Time is our enemy here on the show. So it's clicking right along, isn't it? So here we are at 9:50 and a half, as a matter of fact, and all set to say hi to, now I've got to check this name when we come back here in a moment, McPhee. That's first time I've heard someone called McPhee. I'm going to check that out in Toronto. So back in just a couple of moments to see who McPhee is here on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Charlie, you wanted to revisit the question from Siva there.
Yeah, Siva had the question about the squash vine borers. So, yeah, there's a lot here on the web, Siva, but here's a quick and dirty that might help you. Natural Insect Control, which is based in St. Catharines, NIC, their actual website is naturalinsectcontrol.com. They have a trap, which is a lure and a trap for catching squash vine borers. The lure is a pheromone, which will attract the insect into the trap. Thus, they can't get out and they're not going to cause problems. When do you put this out? Place traps outside the gardens in early June. This pest is active in late June into July. So there's the answer to your question. The borer pupa overwinters in the top 1 to 5 inches of soil. So cultivating in the spring before planting reduces their numbers later, or cultivating in the fall even, right up until planting in the spring. So yes, that's a challenge if you're plagued by that borer that's wiping out your pumpkins and cucumbers and zucchinis. So you've got to try and get that pupa out of the soil, you know, up on the surface to die before it emerges. As soon as the adults emerge, that's who's boring into your plant. So you might want to consider the trap and the lure.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, at 9:55, we've got, I think, a gentleman on the line, McPhee. Mm. Is that your first name?
It's Ian.
I beg your pardon?
Ian.
Ian.
Okay. Ian. I thought, I've never heard that name before.
Welcome to the show.
Well, Ian, welcome along.
The question was, Frank and Happy Grandfather's Day to you.
Oh, thank you.
And Charlie, the question was, last week or 2 weeks ago, you mentioned the improvement of your composter by dumping red wiggly worms into the composter.
And where do you get them?
Where do you get them?
Okay, so there's here's where you go. Do you have access to the web?
No, but somebody else does for me.
Okay, so write this down. Kathy's Crawlers.
Yeah, I called them, and they eventually called back and said that they'll put me on the waiting list because they don't have any.
What?
Wow.
I'm trying to figure out where do we get them.
They don't have any.
I got them. Shop. Every
no, not red wigglers. Yeah, really. Huh. Okay, so that's a great question. I'm so amazed that they don't have any there because Kathy's Crawley right. Composters. She's Newmarket based, and right. I thought she had a bottomless supply. All right, so I got mine originally from a friend who said, you need red worms, and brought me an empty margarine container full of red worms.
Yeah.
I threw them in my composter, and they just chowed down.
Sure.
And they're there all the time. They just go down in the winter, and they come up in the spring. So I'm sure I have some. Maybe I should go into the business.
Well, there you go.
Hey, let me see if I can source out somebody else. So they said that they have none in stock.
Your reply to me on tape was that they don't have them, and they hope to get them, and they'll put me on the list.
Oh,
and
so
I tried
they've had
putting the list into the composter, and that didn't help.
Yeah, really. And they really are do make a big difference.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'll wait to hear from you on your.
Let me see if I can come up with another source. But you're right. I'm right on her website, and look, try to order them. We are currently out of stock of worms.
Oh, there we are.
Amazing.
Okay. Gee, good luck with that.
Okay, so I will wait to hear maybe your comment next program.
Exactly. Next Saturday, if not before.
Ian.
Thank
you. Okay, thank you. And I think we might have time, Charlie, we push along here, to squeeze one more call in. This is from Sophie in Hamilton. Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank. Happy Father's Day, Frank.
Oh, thank you.
Charlie, I have a Solomon's seal plant. It's It's very healthy. It's doing quite well, and it's really taking over.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, can I transplant it in the fall and plant it somewhere in a very, very, very shady area? Would it do well?
Oh, absolutely. They grow beautifully in the shade. That's one of the best plants for the shade.
Ah, okay. So I can trim it, I can dig it up, and no problem.
Yeah, I wouldn't transplant now if you can avoid it. Try, like you said, do it in the fall. And for now, I mean, unless it's a problem, trim back whatever is flopping or, you know, in the way. But it's an excellent plant. You know it. You've surely got it in your garden. It's a it's an undergrowth forest plant. Mm-hmm. Grows, you know, a meter tall, roughly. Very interesting flowers. And then when the flowers are done, it's just the foliage all summer. So, for sure, transplant away, but do it in the fall.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you,
you're
Sophie.
Very welcome.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks
a
lot.
You too. And
don't
keep cool any way you can.
Anyway, no.
Yeah.
Go swimming.
Well, that's all. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Toby, my youngest guy, he and I are traveling to Kitchener-Waterloo to visit with Uncle Ron and Auntie Sue down there.
And do they have a pool?
They've got a pool.
So speaking of that Speedo.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it.
Pull
Toby,
that out
Toby
of...
said, hey, Dad, don't forget to bring your bathing suit. You bet. I'll be doing that. Yeah. And I'll
that's
be back
great.
This afternoon, too, to say
yeah,
hi to folks.
You will.
I'll have a special conversation, as a matter of fact, with Dave Rediger, who is sitting, getting ready to do Dave's Corner Garage.
Warming up his voice.
Yes. But I'm
and his car.
On the air, after 1 o'clock, and we'll tell you why.
Oh, top secret!
Top secret.
You,
yeah.
You and Dave, you got something something going on there.
Something happening.
Right.
All right.
Whew, I'll be listening in for that. And I'm off to a client, doing a consultation for friends of mine who I did a magnificent garden for them last summer. Right after it was finished, they sold their house.
Oh no!
Yeah, but good for me because now they bought a new house and now they need a new garden.
Well, there
so I'm off
good
to
stuff.
See them.
Okay.
So thank you, Frank. And big happy Father's Day to you and all the fathers, including my father. And I'll be seeing my dad tonight. I'm taking
good.
My daughter there for
yep.
dinner. And, yeah, we've got lots to do in our gardens. And, yeah, take care.
Sebastian, all the best, my friend. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you, Sebastian. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.